Hello.
Thanks for joining me on Coffee and Conversations with Rachel.
You're absolutely welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, good. Well, since this is Coffee and Conversations with Rachel, what is your favorite coffee? But you, you don't like coffee either.
Well, I absolutely love, I get this at, I do believe it's called Russell's Bakery, and it's the chai latte, but they don't use dairy products. I mean, they can, but you can get it dairy-free if you like.
Yeah.
And I get the chai latte, or I can get the hot cocoa dairy-free. That's absolutely smooth and silky.
Oh, that's what I love is chai tea. So I love it from Summer Moon, but I like it cold better.
You like it cold? Well,
yes.
I love it hot. I do. And you know what's great about their products is you can get, what do they call that, gluten-free. I like gluten-free products because it doesn't upset my stomach. So it works a lot better for me anyways.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Neurodivergent series.
Absolutely welcome.
Yeah, I would love to hear how you ended up at Westover, because the story is really neat to hear.
Okay, well, I ended up at Westover, I would say 2016, 17, somewhere around there, because I said, hey, you know, hey Siri, church is near me. And it found Westover for me. And I've never been to an a cappella service. I've never been to one. And the first day, I came into that service, I felt like I could finally breathe.
Yeah. And can you tell me about you being autistic? That's why you're on here to tell us all about it today.
Okay. What would you like to know? Because that's a little bit...
How you... So you kind of figured it out yourself that may be what's going on. So kind of how you came to that conclusion and then just stemming with that and all the things that come along with it.
Okay. Well, I've always had, you know, trouble in schools and things like that, you know, with keeping friends and all that, blah, blah, blah. And... And when I'm saying blah, 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 I'm not downplaying it or anything like that. I'm just saying it was always not just not just being blind, but just more than that. So, you know, what else is, I just always had just a lot of trouble with that. And, you know, the rocking that you're seeing right now. And then, I always had problems, and the teachers would tell me not to do that because I wouldn't find friends. And then I just always took things literally too. And I'm like going, why am I taking things literally? So I would, and you know, 2019, such around there, I would look things up and say, why am I having problems taking things personally, literally? Why can't I get sarcasm? Why can't I? Just why, basically, you know? Why is this so difficult? You know, why? You know? And autism would come up a lot for me, you know? And I didn't go from there because I didn't just want to just do that. I wanted to hear other people's stories, and I would listen to other people's stories on YouTube and things like that. And I would talk to my therapist and say, listen, I'm not sure. I think I'm just not sure. It looks like I might be. That's what I told her. And she helped me come up with that discovery.
And I remember when we were talking a little bit, is his name Atwood?
Tony Atwood, yeah.
Yes.
A lot of good resources there.
Yeah, I remember you talking about how good of a resource that was. What are some of the big struggles that come along with being autistic?
like I say, taking things literally. Masking even, you know, and it's... We have to mask to make the neurotypicals comfortable, really. So this that you're seeing right now, we have to suppress our stims, really. One moment, please. And a lot of women and girls on the autism spectrum, we seem to be a lot more social, so it goes undetected. And there's a lot of like, I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. And the special interests, some of them that might seem odd to people, like not odd, but just like I wouldn't have known you liked opera or something like that. Like people that are neurotypical might not accept that. Like in school, I was talking about opera all the time and opera all the time. I just want to make sure that word came out clear. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's weird, you know. I wanted to tell them that they were weird, but I didn't. I just basically just struggled fitting into their world because I would talk about things nonstop, basically. And the social cues, like knowing when to stop talking about a certain thing or knowing when and how to start a conversation, know when to interrupt or knowing how to break into a conversation.
Yeah.
Or knowing, how do I say this? Detecting that somebody doesn't exactly mean what they say, right?
Yeah.
Kind of the theory of mind thing. Knowing that a person isn't exactly safe because they don't know what they don't know. They don't mean exactly what they say.
Yeah.
Not to take them literally because they're not telling you the exact truth. They're lying to you. Things like there's some struggles there. knowing how to end a conversation. I would have the hardest time on the phone. And the person would be talking and talking and talking. I'm like, well, I'm going to be late, you know, and I wouldn't actually say it, you know. Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to be late, you know, and I would be late for the thing. And I'm like, I didn't know how to tell them. Another thing, executive functioning skills, you know, like time management. I would be so late for an event because I didn't know how to map out time and you know, organization skills. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I still have struggles with, you know, how long do I need to, you know, get ready for this event and things like that. You know, things like that. You know, organization, you know, I was taught that, you know, like at the School for the Blind, and my mom did a wonderful job teaching me that and mm-hmm. things like that. Those are, you know, a lot of times stimming, a lot of people want us to suppress that. But it really helps us to, with concentrating and staying focused on what we want to say, and it helps us, regulate, and it helps us, like I say, stay focused on the things that we need to focus on.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I meant to say. But yes, and you know, what we can't do is we can't like filter out, like if it's really, really loud or really, really bright for the people that can see, or smells and things and things like that. We can't really filter that out. So we have to filter it out by stimming.
Okay.
And that's what helps us with that.
And that can look all different ways yes. for every person.
Like my silky ribbon that I have here.
Yeah.
I'll just put it away.
And I remember you saying vanilla a little, like you like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I have Enya at my house. I have her on my Lady A device. my Amazon device. I'll put her on if I need to. You know, you can even put a song on repeat if you want to. Like saying words I like to say over and over again. That can be a stim as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot. It can look different for an autistic person.
I remember you saying when we were talking to, you were talking about loud and all that stuff, when you're at church and it's really loud and people just coming up to you, like that's almost overstimulating at points.
Yeah. I was that even happened last week. it happened a lot last week, actually. And, you know, it really, my thing is if they would just ask me, you know, may I give you a hug, you know, I think that would not help only me, but other autistics out there. Now, every autistic person's different, I get that, you know, and some people are all about that. Some people like that. I just happen to not like that very much.
Yeah.
That's just as overstimulating. Now, I want to be clear that I'm fine with people saying hi to me. That's fine. But all this, hi. I would just like someone to just ask if they can do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I love about people that I know, they'll say, hey, it's Brent. You know, they'll let me know that they're there.
Yeah, and I know that's very helpful, too.
Yes, it's very helpful. And it's very helpful that they do that. And then they'll either give me a hug or whatever, whatnot, or they'll ask or whatever, whatnot. It's just, and I think it has to do with their type of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Like relationship with you or?
That too, but how they are. Like
interact with people maybe too?
Their interaction or their type of, just how their relationship, but just, I don't know them, they don't know me, but just how they, just their, I guess their presence with that work.
Yeah, their presence, their interaction with people, how they interact with people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Their presence and the, just, I guess that the type of energy that they give off too.
Yeah.
I hope that works. I don't mean it in a weird way. I mean it in.
No, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
What everybody's kind of comfortable. Everybody's different on like what they want, don't want, what they like.
Right.
And respecting that though in each other.
I'm just trying to make it make sense for other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also, I think just asking the person, and of course me, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that are have sensory things that are going on with them, and they just don't care for that. Just asking, I think, and if they can tell you, what else would you like to know?
So you get up and sing a lot on Sundays.
Oh, yes.
And I mean, you love opera.
I do.
Correct?
Yes.
So how did you come to find that you like loved that?
How did I? How did I come to love opera? I listen to a lot of artists like Natalie Desay. And I was listening to a classical crossover artist when I was 13. And my vocal teacher at the time goes, that's not opera. Listen to this. And she turned on Natalie Desay and I was hooked.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's all it took.
That's amazing.
And, I'm a, I'm a coloratura soprano. And I just love hitting those high notes, kind of like a flute, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And of course, from my speaking voice, nobody would really guess that.
Yeah. No?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, I think it's impressive that you found the church by just basically Googling it, showed up, and now you're up there singing on the stage.
I absolutely love it. And I, like I said in the beginning of this podcast episode, I felt like I could finally breathe. There's something about the sound of a cappella singing that just, I don't know, it had that meditative quality.
Uh-huh.
But it's very calming, I felt.
Yeah. So I'm sure you enjoy it, but then by the end, with all of the sounds and overstimulation, you're just kind of done.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Yeah.